Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Professor Bill Kolbrenner, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you, Howard. Let's celebrate the Zionist conspiracy that Argentina yet again won. Yet again.
Well, those who bless Israel shall be blessed, right?
There you go.
Wow. Okay, so now I'm just trying to still process the fact that a full professor at a whole real university answers a question by saying that's nonsense. Doesn't strike me as being typically academic.
I think it shows you something about the state of academic discourse, and especially in Israel, around the very controversial issue you were discussing, that the assumption always is there's a conflict and a war that's happening. She didn't understand that you are a generous, sympathetic interviewer and really just wanted to know what she thought.
Yeah.
She was standing in the Oxford Society in a debate club trying to win. And that's unfortunately what happens so much in our
culture. Well, it is, because I don't
think
we're any the wiser after that interview, to be honest, because if everything is perfect with the Supreme Court and everything is too terrible with government, and it might well be the case, but then prove it to me. Don't shout me down with it, because I remain unconvinced, and our listeners are pretty smart too. You haven't convinced them, I promise you. You know, it's just not quite a surprising way to have a debate, in my view.
It shows the impoverishment of the way we speak and talk to one another and converse with one another. And speaking of that, Howard, you know, there was this PEN America article, this post that I really want to talk to you about.
Yes, please.
Because writing on the wall was in the center. For people who don't know, PEN America is the oldest institution, I think, in the world, protecting the rights of writers against censorship. And Ronit and I, my partner writing on the wall, were interviewed as part of this article. And the report came out saying that there has been a silent moratorium on Israeli writers, artists. The main literary agent in Israel has sold exactly zero novels in the past 3 years since October 7th. Since October 7th, again, giving the lie to the whole story. Well, it started with genocide.
Right.
So, and what the extraordinary thing that happened was that the president of PEN America resigned, not as you might have hoped, in acknowledgement of the failure of PEN to step in earlier and protect the rights of Israeli authors from boycotts, but he resigned in protest of the report itself.
Protested. I didn't actually get that.
Yes, indeed, he did. And the argument was it was limiting the free speech of BDS, and their free speech is involved in the freedom to boycott. The Orwellian doublespeak is extraordinary.
Wait, my head is spinning. Take me through that slowly, as though I'm not smart.
8 years old.
Yes.
8 years old, Howard. I do this to my children all the time. Okay. We're older than 8 years old.
Right.
The president of PEN,
The report says that Israel voices are being
systematically silenced, repressed in every possible way. It's
okay.
Extremely
so that's the report.
Depressing.
Got it. Okay. Right.
And the PEN president resigned, not again in acknowledgement and saying, wow, we really screwed up. We didn't notice this earlier. But protested the report on the crazy basis that it limits the free speech of our enemies, people like BDS, to boycott us. So we're limiting Howard. For your listeners, I'm looking at Howard. He's confused. It makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, I can't get my head around how sidelining. Shadow banning, really, Jewish voices is a empirical right of freedom of speech. That's what it's saying.
But behind that, the lead writer on it, Geraldine Baum, has been called on a webinar a conspiracy theorist. And Geraldine's a real journalist. So she wrote back to me. She said, I've been called a lot of things, but never that. Because that's like the worst thing to possibly be called. And you just see, Howard, when you said the silent ghosting, it's the ghosting of the Jewish people. And it's come out now in black and white, and people are saying bravo. Not bravo to the article, but bravo to the ghosting. And those who want to stop us, they are the the liberal free speech progressive problem. They haven't. I was going to say they haven't read John Locke, but they haven't read anything.
Well, you can't read anything because it justifies the burning of books.
Well, Howard, you know, 3 years ago when we started writing on the wall, me and Ronit, she said, you know, people really need to understand the complexity and nuance of what's happening here. And what happened in the past week with this Penn report and the response to it is people are saying, we would rather look at you through our cartoon narrative, our cartoon story of good and evil, a story that they would never use in any other context. But here they're happy to look at it as a cartoon, good and evil, and surprise, surprise, where are the evil ones? The complexity and nuance can't get through their filters. Their filters are too thick and too big. All they want to hear is, well, they don't want to hear anything from us. And I think what we're saying now, for Ronit and I, it's an impetus. You know, we will not disappear. People want us to disappear, and we will not disappear.
It's remarkable what an early adapter I was. I mean, I was kicked off News 24 just a few months after October the 7th. So
very good, Howard.
I'm very much a leader in this field, you should know. But it's remarkable because then that's what happens is you kick off the Jewish voice because he supports genocide or something, even, you know, the absurdity of it. And then there's nothing to hear. But of course, other voices that are supportive of Hamas and supportive of real genocide are all platformed because freedom of speech, guys. You know, everybody has to have a voice. Well, not everybody, clearly. It's fascinating.
Well, the liberal world always, there's always things you can't say. I have a former teacher of mine wrote a book called There's No Such Thing as Free Speech, and it's a good thing, too. You can't say certain things. There's always things that are outside what's outside of the norm. But what's interesting is that the Jew, and we're just going back, Howard, I just say to people, and you know this, we're just going back to the older model. Just slot the Jew into the position of the hated other. We've been there for two millennia. We were out of it for about 50 years. Now we're just back in it. It's old news.
When do we reach rock bottom here?
We think about Rabbi Akiva, who stood in front of the ruins of the temple and was laughing as he saw the destruction, and his colleagues said, why are you laughing? And whatever he answers is, I mean, he is hysterical. He's laughing at Auschwitz. But in the end, Rabbi Akiva built the future. So we just build the future. We don't talk about rock bottom. We're always at rock bottom. Yeah. The Jewish people are always at rock bottom. We thought for a while we weren't.
And here,
but thank God we have our own state. Let's just add that.
Well, absolutely. Well, even if we are doing our darndest to to destroy that by senseless hatred, but you know, that's very seasonal. So we're going to Professor Bill Kolbrenner. We'll leave it there. Oh, I'm glad I had this interview just to actually bring me back to complete non-reality.